Hi, Agnes here. You're listening to Two Queers, Five Books, a podcast that has sprouted from the soil of another podcast, Two Queers, Four Questions. Ezra and I are moving through the annual cycle of Torah readings week by week, taking turns with each parsha, wrestling with the text, dancing with it, flirting with it, arguing. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy. Chaye Sarah. There's a spaciousness to this parsha. It's calm. It's shaped like a circle. It begins with the death of Sarah and Abraham's purchase of a gravesite for her. It ends with the death of Abraham himself and his burial beside her. There's a sense of completion. In the middle, Isaac meets Rebecca. In the middle, this feeling of stillness, of silence, of the arrangement of things being worked out in the gentle unfoldings of days. I want to talk about three moments of seeing. First moment, Abraham has sent his servant Eliezer back to his hometown to find a wife for Isaac, and Eliezer arrives by the well and isn't sure where to begin. And he says to himself, to God, "Okay, may the person who, when I ask, please lower your jar that I may drink and lets me drink, and then offers to bring water to my camels, may she be the one that God has decreed as a partner for Isaac." And sure enough, just as he has this thought, Rebecca appears. "Please lower your jar that I may drink," says Eliezer. And she does. And then she says, "And let me bring you water for your camels." What Eliezer does, it's a funny kind of prophecy. Eliezer says what will happen. He insists on a form for the encounter. But still, he doesn't know what this person will look like. He doesn't know who they are. But he knows that he wants them to be someone who will care for a stranger, and he trusts God. He makes an opening, and then he looks to see who will emerge from it. He makes a prophetic frame, and in the frame, then, an unexpected face. The second and third moments of seeing happen almost at the same time. And Isaac went out to stroll, or maybe the word is meditate, or think aloud, or pray. It's a word we aren't sure about, lasuach. And Isaac went out, lasuach, in the field just before evening, and he lifted his eyes, and he saw, and here were camels coming. It's a tender and almost romantic moment. The sun's low, I'm picturing that golden hour turning into dusk, and there's a man in the field, thoughtful and alone, and a line of camels coming out of the distance. And Rebecca raised her eyes, and she saw Isaac, and she fell, or maybe the word is climbed down, lowered herself, slipped. They argue about this verb too, of a tipol, off the camel. The seeing isn't quite reciprocal. Isaac sees, we're not sure what he sees. And he lifted his eyes and he saw, and here were camels. It feels like there's a catch in the heart there, a hesitation. Maybe he knows who it might be, maybe not, but there's an inhale, a skipped beat. He sees, ah. Rebecca sees Isaac, but she doesn't know who he is yet. But something catches in her too. She stops, she dismounts, she pulls the car over. She's already off her camel. Eliezer, meanwhile, is like, we're not there yet. It's only in the next line that she asks who he is. E.E. Cummings writes, "Your slightest look easily will unclose me." An opening is created, and in the opening, in that frame, an encounter. What does seeing do to us? What obligations are enjoined upon us when we really look at someone, let ourselves be surprised by what we see? There will be stories that follow. Rebecca will meet Isaac, Isaac will meet Rebecca, they'll ask about each other's families, they'll learn about who each other is, habits around the home, favorite books, are you a morning person, do you like spicy food? Eliezer will explain the details of everything that happened, will bring out the story that makes the match seem inevitable, and later the text will tell us that Isaac loved Rebecca, and that she comforted him after his mother's death, and a narrative of continuity, of fixed relation will resume. But before all that, what allows us to see another person in this way? This unexpected catch-in-the-heart way, and to be seen? Maybe it is a willingness to lower the lip of our water jug to a stranger, to lower ourselves from our camels. Maybe it is somewhere in that verb lasuach, that untranslatable verb, that verb that escapes narrative, some private moment of wander, wonder, mutter, prayer, meditation. As I said, the Parsha is a circle, and it begins and ends with the burial of the dead, and at the center, this stillness, this opening into which the heart can catch. Judith Butler has this beautiful and painful idea of grievability. Some lives, she says, are seen as worthy. They can be grieved over. Other lives are seen as not worthy. They are not grieved. Those lives are subject to reasons, to logics of strategy, of political games. They are embedded too deeply in a story we have told and told over again, have been telling ourselves, have had taught to us for years. A story about who we are and who they are. We have to be careful, we have to be very careful not to let the stories and the forms of fixed relation overtake our ability to see each other. We have to catch a sight of each other in the golden light at the end of the day. We lower ourselves from our camels the way we lowered the lips of our jars and invited the stranger to drink. Yes, please, taste me. I have been living in a small place these last few months, away from the cities I know, away from communities that tell me who I am. Watching leaves change color and fall and rain and mist and sun. And the unit of unfolding is really the day, morning into afternoon into evening. I'm working, and also there is an element of each day that is about lasuach, animasuach. In the stillness, there can sometimes be an opening. Yesterday, my friend and I drove into Albany and lay in the street outside a congressman's office. We stared at the gray sky and listened to the names of just a few of the dead in Gaza. The stillness at the center of this parsha isn't a rest, an exit from reality. It's a form of prophecy. It's a frame, and into the frame emerges an unexpected face. It is a vortex of obligation. Our seeing binds us. Don't let us close ourselves, please.